Welcome to Austin on the Air, candid conversations about air filtration and air quality and the impact it has on children and adults at school, work, and home.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Austin on the Air. I'm Anna Malaszewski with the marketing team here at Austin Air. I'm super excited about today's episode because I'm here with Nancy Knudsen, a certified essential oil coach and certified health coach and founder of New Day Whole Health. Welcome, Nancy. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and New Day Whole Health?
Yeah, so I'm actually a functional medicine certified health coach. I've been doing what I do for more than a decade, and hugely what brought me to do what I do is that I had a ton of health issues 15 years ago. I was experiencing chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, chronic infections, insomnia. I was having MS symptoms. My dad has MS. I have a sister who has MS. I was never diagnosed with MS, but that was certainly some of the symptoms that I was having as well. So just a lot of health issues going on for myself 15 years ago, and had also experienced childhood trauma. My parents had a lot of health issues as well. So 15 years ago, I just was in such a bad place for my health that I realized I needed to figure out a solution. And really, I grew up on a farm. I loved to cook. It wasn't like I was eating fast food. I didn't drink soda. So I feel like I was doing a lot of things and a lot of things right for my health, but I was still not well. And people would always tell me, like, you eat healthier than anyone I know. And I was like, yeah, I know. I can't figure it out. But anyway, it was about 12 years ago, I found a functional medicine doctor in my area, Dr. Jill Carnahan, and started just down that path of pursuing functional medicine for my own health. And as I quickly, found amazing results by cutting out, I did a very, and I don't usually encourage other people to do this, but I did a very strict diet. I cut out gluten, I cut out sugar, I cut out dairy. Part of the problem with what functional medicine is, we do a lot of, or we were doing a lot of food testing at that time, food sensitivities. And so every time I would go, they would tell me more food sensitivities that I was having and kept restricting my diet more and more, which to me, that's really not the answer. It's not about cutting out more and more foods. It's about figuring out how to heal that intestinal tract so that we don't have those food sensitivities. So anyway, that's where I was 12 years ago, and just started down a path of, eating more of an anti-inflammatory diet. And then very quickly, as I did that super strict diet, I felt a huge relief of the symptoms that I was having. Really, when you do that strict of a diet, you can see within a week dramatic changes in how your symptoms are coming along. But the problem was I kept having to be so strict on the diet. And that was kind of my pursuit over the next 5 years after that, just to figure out how to not have to be so darn restrictive with diet and lifestyle, just to be in a place where, you can eat out, or you can eat, like I can eat yogurt now, and I can eat a lot of the foods that were on that food sensitivity testing that we were doing, like strawberries and broccoli, the FODMAP diets that a lot of people are following now. We shouldn't have to be that restrictive on our diets.
So let's transition a little bit here. What are some general things that could contribute to gut health, maybe that you found on your own journey, or just things that everyone should be aware of?
Yeah, so many things contribute to poor gut health. Certainly the toxins that we endure throughout, our daily lives. The air that we breathe has mercury in it. The foods that we're eating so often contaminated with pesticides and herbicides and chemicals that are being sprayed on the crops. So being more careful about choosing organic because those chemicals can really cause issues in the intestinal tract. Childhood trauma, a lot of times people who have experienced childhood trauma, so our emotional stress plays a part in the gut health. Nutrient deficiencies. A lot of what we talk about in functional medicine, if you looked at a diagram of the small intestine and you would see the villi and the microvilli of the small intestine, those should be light and flowy and they should absorb the nutrition out of our food as the food passes through. But what happens when we're experiencing all the things in our diets, having a lot of chemicals and inflammatory foods, and we have stress that we're not coping with, we're not dealing with, not taking care of that self-care piece, because those villi and microvilli and the small intestine begin to get matted down and crushed, kind of like an old carpet. And then the food begins to pass through. We're not getting the nutrition that we should be out of our food, and we begin to become nutrient deficient. And nutrient deficiencies are almost always a part of that piece of having an unhealthy gut as well. So there's a lot of things that play into not having, good gut health.
Okay, right. So now we know all these things that contribute to gut health. So how is this all linked to other systems of the body?
Yeah. So just as Hippocrates told us more than 2000 years ago, all disease begins in the gut. Functional medicine absolutely ascribes to that. Functional medicine would say that any disease that is chronic and degenerative is rooted in the gut. So looking at that gut, that root cause of the gut being unhealthy. So whether it's your hormones that are out of whack, whether it's cancer, diabetes, heart disease, acne, allergies, asthma, IBS, IBD, all of these things, if it's chronic and degenerative, functional medicine would say that the root cause is rooted in the gut. So as we begin to heal the gut, we can see that these symptoms, for whatever it is that we're experiencing, we can improve our symptoms by addressing gut issues.
Okay. So are there specific people who might be more susceptible to these gut health issues? Like, what are some underlying conditions that people might have that might make their gut especially sensitive to issues?
Yeah. Certainly childhood trauma is always a lot of times a big factor. People that have experienced childhood trauma a lot of times go forth to just experience more health issues. People who have been susceptible or had Epstein-Barr virus, a lot of times Epstein-Barr virus is almost transposed into young adulthood or into adulthood as chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, chronic infections. Another thing is genetic variants. A lot of people have the MTHFR genetic variants, and that is a methylation issue. And if we don't methylate well, we don't basically turn our food into energy well, we don't detoxify well. And so people that have MTHFR genetic variations, and it's estimated that 60% of the population has MTHFR genetic variants. We can either have one or two or both of those primary genetic variants. And if we have both of those genetic variants, our ability to methylate or our ability to detoxify and to turn our food into energy can be decreased by up to 80%. So a lot of times it can be those genetic variants that people are much more susceptible to having health issues. And then, of course, we look at environmental factors. What is your toxin load? What's going on in your environment? Do you live in a home that has mold? Do you live in the inner city where there's a lot more pollution? Are you doing things to mitigate that? And then other factors could be stress, people that have a very stressful job, certainly that can be an issue. And then the whole, you know, what are you eating? All of those things too. The first place I always tell people to start is, you know, start cleaning up your diet. It's just a huge factor that we can initially, you know, just right off the bat be addressing, eating cleaner, drinking clean water, using a high quality water filter in your home for your drinking water. Nothing makes me more sad than when I'm working with someone and, you know, 3 years down the road, they're not where they want to be. And I find out that they're still drinking water from the tap. I'm like, wow. Because if you're spending more money on your food, but you're still drinking water from the tap, you're just basically shooting yourself in the foot. It's just, what do you do? What do you put in your body more than anything else every day is water. So that's a big deal. And the other thing I always like to talk to people about too is clean air, just because we're, 8 hours of clean sleep throughout the night can set you up really well to be able to detoxify throughout the day. And it's during that nighttime sleep that we can rest and digest and be in that parasympathetic nervous system state and find healing. And so using a high quality air purification system in your bedroom where you get those 8 hours of clean sleep is huge. And then also if you work in an office where you're in a certain, you know, a smaller space, do one throughout the day as well. Keep one in your office as well. I think that's always a great option.
Okay. So going back a little bit, so maybe I'm one of these people that might be more susceptible to gut health issues. Maybe I'm not, but what are some signs and symptoms that regardless might indicate that I have poor gut health?
Yeah, good question. So the obvious, right? Diarrhea, constipation, gas, bloating, all of those are obvious symptoms of gut health, but then there are the not obvious symptoms of gut health that a lot of times people don't put that together. People that are having skin issues, whether it's eczema or acne, hives, just allergic reactions on the skin. Our skin is a picture of what is happening on the inside. And so if you're having skin issues, it is about the gut, not about the skin. So trying to treat things topically, might help, but that's really not the answer. We really need to focus on helping with the gut. And a lot of times that is an overgrowth of yeast or bacteria. So sometimes it could be parasites, different things that could be going on in the gut. So skin issues could be a gut issue. And again, as functional medicine would say, all disease, whether it is, if it is chronic and degenerative, whether it's cancer, diabetes, heart disease, allergies, acne, all of those things, it's all about the gut. So if you're having migraine headaches, it's about the gut. If you are having diabetes, if you're overweight or whatever, all of these things are, you know, indications that we need to focus on better gut health.
Okay. So now I suspect, or maybe I know that I have poor gut health. I've seen and experienced all these kinds of signs and symptoms. What are my next steps going forward? Like, what are some things that I can do to treat this so I can start feeling better?
Yeah, I think, working with someone who is knowledgeable in gut health, who has been there and done that and been successful helping other people, would be a really great place to start. I always tell people, start with your diet and lifestyle, start cleaning up the diet. But a lot of times people do that piece and they get stuck and they're not getting where they want with their health because they're not addressing the gut. And part of what happens with when we're having an unhealthy gut, we have a lot of inflammation. Our villi and microvilli are getting matted down and crushed like an old carpet. But what also can happen with that is we begin to have a pulling apart of the lining of the small intestine and then those food particles, whatever it is that we're eating. And that's why it's so important not just to focus on the diet, but to address, like, how do we heal and seal the gut? There are certain herbs, certain botanicals, addressing the nutrient deficiencies. But what also happens in there is we begin to get biofilms. And a lot of people don't know about biofilms and aren't addressing the biofilms. Biofilms are a slimy sludge that bacteria form over the top of themselves. And they do that to protect themselves. And it actually makes them antibiotic resistant. And if you look at government websites, if you, you know, do a Google search on that and you look at different government websites that talk about biofilms, they will show that essential oils are actually a really good way of breaking down those biofilms that are even often antibiotic resistant. So if you are going down that path of, you know, doing antibiotics for whatever it is that you have going on, a skin issue or chronic strep throat or whatever it is. And a lot of times people see their symptoms are better, but then they get worse again. It's because we haven't addressed the biofilms. So those antibiotics might kill off some of that, but the slimy sludge that the bacteria form over the top of themselves that are antibiotic resistant, a lot of times those antibiotics aren't getting rid of that. So we need to address those biofilms. And so essential oils are a great way. And a lot of practitioners use different products that have essential oils in them to, whether they're you ingest them or use topical use. I always recommend a topical use product because it is much easier on the system. Don't get as many of the Herxheimer reactions. That sort of thing. So just addressing all of those different pieces, making sure you're addressing the biofilms. First of all, eating cleaner, you know, starting with diet, make sure your water's clean, using an air purifier, all of those things. But then addressing the biofilms, addressing supporting your body's natural detoxification methods, opening up the detox pathways, addressing your toxin load. The more toxins that we have in our life, the more that we have to detoxify from. So being more careful about what we put in and on our skin, the food that we eat, the products that we use. Our skin absorbs 60% of what we put on it. So if we're using a lot of body care products, cleaning products in our home, that have chemicals, fragrances, all of those sorts of things, they are absorbed directly into our bloodstream through our skin. So just being more cognizant, more careful about the products that we're using, what we put in and on our skin, in our bodies, all huge factors for just having better gut health.
Okay. Yeah. So switching gears now a little bit, let's talk about mold. So mold is obviously a huge issue for renters and homeowners, and it can be a super frustrating thing to experience. So when it comes to gut health, how are the two linked?
Yeah, a lot of times, just like I talked about the biofilms, part of what can be caught up in those biofilms, because those biofilms harbor toxins, molds, fungus, yeast, bacterias, even parasites. And so if we have a mold issue in the gut, we're going to be more sensitive to the molds that are around us. A lot of times, two people will live in the same space and one person doesn't have an issue with the mold and the other person does. So there could be several things that are going on there. Their immune system is not as strong, but most likely too, they have a mold issue in their gut. So addressing that gut health and improving the intestinal, you know, healthiness, helping to kill off that bad stuff and then repopulating with good bacteria, eating foods that are rich in live bacteria, things like lacto-fermented sauerkraut and pickles and miso and kefir, all those good probiotic foods. But so that we begin to have an overgrowth or a growth of the good bacteria rather than the bad things like the molds or the yeast or the bacterias. And then, you know, we have to do what we can too, just to mitigate what is in our surroundings, whether we need to use a company to help mitigate that. And also, again, clean air, just using a high quality air purifier can definitely help with bringing down that toxicity in the environment. And hopefully at some point when people heal their gut, they won't be so sensitive to the things around. I work with people who are, you know, allergic to cats or allergic to whatever it is, certain foods or whatever. And I'm talking like EpiPen allergic, and we work on gut health, and then they accidentally eat the whatever it is that they're allergic to, and they don't have an allergic reaction and they're shocked. And I'm like, well, yeah, it's because you've helped to heal and seal your gut. And the same thing, like they'll find that when they go into an environment where there's a cat, they're no longer allergic to the cat. So the same thing can happen with mold. We can hopefully get to the place where we're not so sensitive to our surroundings, where we can't, you know, be where there is any bit of mold, like a bit of mold in a shower or wherever should not bother us. Yes, if there's a huge mold toxicity that needs to be mitigated, absolutely. But we should be able to endure small amounts of, you know, being around a cat or being around the mold or whatever it is.
Okay. So we know that air purification is a super important part of feeling better when you've been exposed to mold or you're having these gut health issues or whatever it may be, as you touched on earlier. So as an expert on gut health, if someone comes to you with gut health issues and you want to talk to them about air purification as a way to start feeling better, what are some things that you're going to recommend that they should look for when choosing an air purifier? And maybe what are some things that they'd want to avoid?
Yeah, I would say look for a reputable company. A part of what I like about Austin Air is they are commercial grade. And my understanding is they helped with the cleanup of 9/11 and is actually the company that was referred to me when I was having all of my health issues by my functional medicine doctor. And so I have actually had mine for more than 10 years. I notice when my grandkids turn it off, like I don't notice right away, like the first day, no problem. Second day, I wake up stuffy and I'm like, huh, why is my nose all stuffed up? And then I realize, you know, oh, the kids turned off the air purifier. So I really do notice a difference. And I think, you know, that's a huge testimony in itself. Like I tell people that all the time, like if you're doing something for your health and you're not noticing a difference for it, like I would question whether or not it's really working. But yeah, using a reputable company that has been around a long time, I think is a really important thing. And I would say too, just keeping in mind that space that you sleep in, 8 hours of good, clean rest is so important. And so using that high quality air purifier in your bedroom is a great way to set yourself up to be able to endure the toxins of the day. Because when we are out and about, especially if we live in the city, we are going to be exposed to a lot of toxins throughout our day. Our air has even mercury in it. So a lot of heavy metal toxicity in the pollution in the air that we breathe. So setting ourselves up by being able to sleep in a clean environment at night is a huge big deal to be able to take that stress off of our bodies throughout the day and be able to endure the toxins of the day.
Awesome. Well, Nancy, thanks so much for talking to us today. Do you want to tell everyone where they can find you online and on social media?
Oh, yeah. You can find me at newdaywholehealth.com, and I am also on the social media platforms. I've been posting my top 10 health hacks, which is a great step-by-step 10 steps of, you know, health hack number one is start eating cleaner. Our diet doesn't have to be perfect, but yes, we want to be focusing on cleaner eating. Health hack number two is working on leaky gut and biofilms, and down the road, I talk about each of those 10 videos, just a great, you know, step-by-step plan to get people thinking about how they can address leaky gut and biofilms and have better gut health. But I'm on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and I'm getting ready to start a Pinterest account also. So
awesome. Great.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Austin on the Air. For more information on air filtration, air quality, and respiratory health, visit austinair.com.